I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Me and you were sat on the hammock and I was like, Vic, I just don't get it. Like, back at home, I'm popular, you know? Like, my friends want to hang out with me. Like, people want to be my friend. And in here...
Nobody wanted to be my friend. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2. So this week, I am super excited about my guest, and I know you all will be too. She is here by popular demand. I can't tell you how many people want to hear us two together again. It is, of course, my jungle bestie, the lovely Fern McCann. Welcome. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2. I have got one of my favourite people in the world on the podcast this week. She's without a doubt my best friend in the industry. She is, of course, the lovely Fern McCann. Welcome.
Darling.
Yes. How are you, pal?
I'm so excited to be doing this. Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Do you know what, mate? I'm all right. I'm feeling like with the sunshine and everyone's just in a little bit of a better mood.
It does feel like one big holiday now, though. I don't know about you.
I think, yeah, like, obviously, we've probably had very different experiences with lockdown, have we not?
Yeah.
Like, I've got Erkan, we've got our little flat, we settled into a nice little routine of just, like, having a drink every so often, watching box sets, working out when we wanted. But you were, of course, a mother, so there is a tiny little living thing demanding your care and attention all the time. And I can imagine that might have been a little bit stressful on your own through lockdown.
It was tough. Like, I feel bad even saying this because I've only got one child.
Of course.
And people have multiple children. Honestly, I don't know why anyone would have more than two. But yeah, it was tough. I made the wise decision of moving Jill, my mum, in at the start of lockdown.
Oh, Jilly Bear.
She was amazing. And honestly, I mean, looking back on lockdown, I know there's talk about maybe a second wave and all of this. But right now, where I'm at right now, I feel like looking back at lockdown, it was a positive experience.
Overall, yeah.
Yeah, overall. There was struggles, don't get me wrong. There were definite struggles. But overall, the positives outweigh the negatives. And Sunday, she was hard work. She's 2.5. So she is demanding, bossy, independent, sassy, 2-year-old girl.
I wonder where she gets all that from, Fern. Yeah. It's so weird.
Honestly, no, it's so funny you say that because there's certain things that she does and says and it's literally like, oh, yeah, that's me. No, this is really bad. This is so bad. Naturally, it's not natural at all. I actually blame my mum. I said, you let it slide with the whole swearing. Have got a bit of a potty mouth and I really am trying my best because I've got a dog now and this is a whole nother... another subject, sorry.
I know. If you didn't have enough on your plate, woman.
Oh, I know we're going off on a tangent. But basically, I was on a dog walk. Mm-hmm. I don't even know why I'm admitting to this, but we was on a dog walk. And the dog done a poo, dog poo. Uh-huh. And I picked it up with, obviously, a poop
a
scoop bag. Yeah, yeah, whatever they're called. And as I went to pick it up Sunday, we're allowed to swear on this.
Why, hi, mate. It's my podcast. What you think?
All right. Do bear shit in the woods. So anyways, I picked up this dog poo, uh-huh, and Sunday went to me, she went, oh, for fuck's sake. Right.
No,
I looked at her. I was on my own, just like no one was there. And I didn't know whether to laugh or cry, but I was kind of proud that she got it in context. You know what I mean? I would have said that. But then I was like, oh, I've got to nip it in the bud now, because even when I'm cooking and I might muck up, or if I drop something on the floor, naturally I'll say, oh, fuck's sake. So she's picked up on that bad habit in lockdown, which hasn't been great. But she's copying everything that I do. She's so funny, so cute now, apart from the swearing, which she done that once, and she's not done it again since, thank God. I've been saying, oh, for fudge's sake. That's what I've been saying.
Have you?
Fudge.
Oh, Fern, are you going to turn into one of these women who says things like, oh, crackers, oh, crumbs? Are you going to be one of them? Because we're not going to be friends.
I don't think I've got it in me to be like, oh, crumbs.
Can't handle crumbs.
Oh, poops. There was talk about getting a swear jar, but I wasn't going to stick to it. So I just have to nip it in the bud.
Yeah. I suppose, like, I don't even think about the things I say and what comes out of my mouth. I've got no impressionable little ears running around, but I do think it's just an extra level of like responsibility that I haven't really taken into consideration, but obviously your life just revolves around now.
Yeah, it's a huge responsibility having a child. And I think I honestly still, I know this sounds ridiculous, she's 3 this year, I still have these moments where I'm like, she's mine and I am solely raising a mini human. Like, that is just nuts, but it's a lot of fun. Yes, in lockdown it was tough and we definitely had our struggles like any relationship, but I found my new way of living, as did she. I've got a whole newfound respect for stay-at-home mums, being such a busy person and always on the go. She was in nursery, then to go 24 hours indoors together was intense, but it was a lot of fun at the same time. So yeah, when Boris announced that the nurseries were back open, we did throw a mini party.
I'm not surprised.
I was like, yeah. She's my child though, you know, she thrives off stimulation from other children and the education. So it's life is kind of creeping back to normal, which, well, normal-ish, I say.
I think, like, there's been enough time lapsed between the very strict lockdown rules and that phase we were in where it was like stockpiling toilet roll and sort of feeling really, really uncertain and scared. Enough time has lapsed since then for what to almost romanticize it, Fern. Now, I'm not for one single second suggesting you didn't have a lovely time, but what I'm saying is there any chance you're looking back on it a little bit with your rose-tinted glasses? Because I'm doing it. I'm going, you know what? I learned so much about myself and I don't want to go back to that fast-paced way of life. And actually, when I look back, I was stressed to death. So do you think you're romanticising a little bit, or are you 110% like lockdown was a plus?
I had some real dark times,
and
some struggles. And for me as an individual, this is in lockdown, as an individual, I am not very good with space and being on my own. Yeah. So that was a big lesson for me and something that I've been trying to work through, but never had that time to just be on my own, because I always invited my friends round and I was always on the go and had that fast pace of life. So that to work through that was really, really hard. And I kept up with my weekly therapy sessions. So yeah, I did have some struggles, and there were times where I thought this is just rubbish, and then I accepted the life that we were living, and just a real mixed bag of emotions. But overall, perhaps I might be looking back with rose-tinted glasses, but on on the plus, I can safely say that all the positives massively outweighed the negatives. Like, I had time to focus on a business that I neglected. I had time to really get to know my daughter like I've never done before, get to know myself, have quality time with her, where I quite often looking down at my phone, and then we're at this place and then I'm dropping off at nursery. So it was nice to work on that relationship with her. And, you know, it's kind of cringe and cliche, getting outside in nature, and I've done lots of cooking, I've done lots of drinking alcohol, and but yeah, what about you? Like, did you struggle, or
no, mate? I think, oh god, it's dead hard, because obviously I just want to be one of those people who's like, I'm super grateful for my health, and I just want to do the right thing and all the rest of it, but like I couldn't be being genuine if I wasn't to say there were some moments where I really missed my family, I really missed my friends, I really missed like my old way of life. But I did work through that, and I know what you mean. It kind of felt like there was like a point where we had to go over that hump. Mm. And proper dig deep and work out, like learn some things about myself, probably some quite really painful truths. Mm. Like I've realized I'm the same. Like I actually was probably going far too fast, was doing too much work, accepting jobs that actually weren't important to get me where I want to be long term. Mm. I was spending time with people out of obligation rather than desire to be around them. I was just on this super fast like hamster wheel. Mm. Because I thought being busy was what you had to be in life in order to be successful, and lockdown has showed me it's the polar opposite. And it's just been lovely to realize that, but it was a difficult realization. Mm. To come to, like, it was an uncomfortable journey for me, and at times I did really struggle with not being doing as much as I normally do.
But I think that in certain situations you have to go through uncomfortable, tricky, hard barriers to then get over to the other side. Yeah. Because I always say, not everything is plain sailing. You have to work through it. Otherwise, you're going to mask a feeling or just kind of bury it, brush it under the carpet. But it's going to resurface some way, shape or form.
Yeah.
That's why lockdown, listen, I know people struggled, myself included, but it was exactly the same for me. It was at such a, like, time is such a luxury, isn't it?
Yeah.
And having that fast pace and not being in the present, and then to have an abundance of time and kind of not really knowing what to do, you was just sat with yourself, and that's really tough. Yeah. For some people, that was so tough for me. I was contemplating all sorts, but then when you get past that and you work through it, it's kind of really beautiful, because you do learn more about yourself and you're wiser and all of that fuddy-duddy stuff, you know.
No, but yeah, right. And it is, I think everyone will have experienced similar things in one way or another. What have been the things you've used, the tools you've used to get through lockdown? Like, I know for me, mate, I had to start limiting my screen time. Sitting scrolling on social media would have been the death of me. It would have been so bad for my mental health, because I'd sit and compare myself to others. I sit and think, well, more recently I sit and think, fuck's sake, everyone's pregnant but me, but that's another story. So yeah, I absolutely had to like limit that. Was there anything you did to help you get through and protect your mental health?
God, there's such a baby boom at the moment. And even with a child, I still feel like that myself as well. I definitely have to. It's one of them things that it's like a sugary donut on the side on your kitchen counter. Mm. And you know the consequences if you eat it. And
it's not going to be good for you and all the rest of it.
It's not going to be good for you, but you can't help but eat it. I found nights where I was just scrolling aimlessly, not getting anywhere. And I thought, why am I looking at this? I'm not actually benefiting from it. But I need to do that to realise that it's not good for me, simply. So my tools, and I know lots of people like, yeah, whatever, like you say that and you're on this spiritual path or spiritual awakening, what have you. But this is genuinely what I have done that has helped me. So I meditate now.
I knew you were going to say meditate. I knew you were. You look really calm, and that's not me bullshitting you. You look really serene.
Babes, yes, meditate. I meditated this morning, and there's so many amazing apps that you can download for free or not. There's just so much amazingness online. Uh-huh. And you can do it. I think when I first started meditating, I got so fixated on, am I doing it right? or am I doing it wrong? Where it's just kind of down to you. Lots of people say that you need to be set upright and alert, whereas I like to lay down. This is the room that I'm in now, that I light my incense and have my crystals, and it's a ritual to you. So I do that every morning, and I have to set my alarm super early so I can do it before Sunday wakes up. Miss Fang, Miss Sunday, as we call her. And that really just stills my mind and just calms me and just puts things into perspective. And I feel like we're all balls of energy. And I just think that if you can sit still and just clear your mind and offer yourself up to this like greater force, it's just a really cool thing that I love to do. So meditation, obviously exercise is a massive, massive thing for me. I know for yourself as well. That's almost a form of meditation. Going for a walk, I've loved going for dog walks. Cooking just calms me. And having a large glass of vino.
You are my spirit animal, lady. I love all of these. I'm thinking of getting into meditation as well, but I'm such a neurotic person, and like my brain is at times a very like crowded and quite stressful place to be. So I find like ways I calm it. I like to read, I try and listen to music, I train. But meditation, the minute I sit down to do it, or I have ever before, it just feels like me, all these things that are the last thing I should be thinking about come popping into my head. Like, I remember arguments I had when I was like 12 years old, and like I replay things and I'm thinking, why are you even in my head right now? Like, I just want like a couple minutes quiet. So is there any apps you can recommend for me?
So Calm is amazing. Okay. Insight Timer is really cool, because then we can share certain ones that we have enjoyed with friends, etc. But honestly, meditation is a practice. So you can't just immediately be good at it. And it's something that you have to work on daily, or I think daily is essential personally. But of course, like, if you can focus on the breath, it is a practice to learn. You've got to learn to like completely clear your mind. Naturally, thoughts. I think it's remarkable how many thoughts we can think of at the same time. Like, I can think of about 5 different thoughts right now, all at the same time. It's just crazy. You surprise yourself. I'm like, I'm really good at clouding my head. But it's a practice. And if you just kind of shift focus on, you know, your breath, then you'll get there if you try daily. Also, I love to, I'm now keeping a gratitude journal.
This is so
key. I can't tell you how good it is. And the most mental crazy things have been happening to me in my life since I've been I feel like small daily disciplines of goodness goes a long way. So meditating, counting your gratitudes, because it just raises your... Oh, I know it's not for everyone, and I want to talk to the mass here, because your podcast, darling, is getting very successful now, and it's got a big audience. And I don't want to sound like an absolute witch, but I'm all about just raising my vibration and just keeping it high and doing it with a smile. And when you start writing down your gratitudes, you really start to give thanks to even small things. And when you start living your life like this, things start to fall in place and you don't get so stressed or so worried. Or I used to really fixate and obsess over being liked, or have I said the wrong thing to a friend? And that used to completely consume my whole day. So now I'm like, just on this journey and doing these really positive things for me, it's kind of like, do you know what? Now I'm going to stand strong with what I've said and not care about what they think. And I think it's important to do self-work. And then, yes, in lockdown, going back to that, when I did have my really low moments and when I really did struggle, I've got all the tools to like pick me back up and not get into an Insta hole and compare myself to other girls that, let's face it, you're never going to be like anyone else but you. And this is my mantra. I speak about it every day. There's only one you, that is your power. I literally live by that, because I just think, yes, you could be like, oh God, I've not got this, or I'm not like that. I always think to myself, oh, I wish I was more articulate, like Vicky Patterson. I wish I could.
That's mental that you've just thought that, because when you were speaking before, it was going through my head where it's like, whatever she is doing right now is working for her, because not only have I never seen you be so eloquent and sure of yourself and confident, you just look so happy and comfortable doing it. So never doubt yourself there, mate, because you are
There you go. I'm glad I've got friends like you, my love. This is what we do. We end up, no matter what we're doing, this is maybe why we're really good friends, is we just start complimenting each other to the point where it becomes awkward in the end. They're like,
oh, I know.
No, but you've got beautiful hair, but your skin's so stunning, but you're really articulate. Oh, but it's
just... No, I'm so bad for it, Fern. I will fangirl you and like literally suck you off till the cows come home. It's too much. It's too much. Let's move on. I'm so proud of how you seem to have coped with lockdown. It feels like you have got a really good gauge of how it's affected you personally, and everyone can learn from how you've chose to deal with any hardships throughout it. You're back at work now, though, right? You're working here. You're filming your new show. Hey, how's it going?
Yes, I feel like I was never really away from filming, because the last episode of the last series, which, if I'm honest, I'm so lucky that my last series, it went on screens in lockdown. So there were so many more eyeballs watching my show, which was great for the ratings. So we filmed the last episode just in the nick of time. Hmm. And it was just before, or as it was happening, Boris then sent the UK into lockdown. So we just completed that series. And that's why, you know, lockdown, we've all lost track of time, and it's been a little bit of, but I don't know how many months we've been in lockdown. I've kind of lost count.
Four, five?
See what I mean? So now we're back to filming, obviously following the government's guidelines, and it is different, but at the same time, I'm kind of used to it. We're back filming, and I feel like I've never been away, so, which is always good, because when you're filming a show like First Time Mum, as you'll know yourself, a reality show, when you have time off, you almost feel a bit rusty when you get back to it. And you're like, oh, God, what am I going to film? And how am I going to be in front of the camera? And what are they going to follow? But you just easily get back into it. So back filming, back to work, which I love. I love being busy, even though, yes, it's great to slow the pace of life down. I love being booked and busy.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's like, it's your livelihood, mate. And there is like an even bigger amount of pressure on you to provide for Sunday, to provide for your family, because you are playing both mommy and daddy roles right now, right?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I'm the sole provider to Sunday, for Sunday. But I guess 3 years in now, I feel very much like it's all I know.
Yeah.
So, and even prior to Sunday, I loved being busy, and I love to work. And I guess I'm lucky that I love what I do. And there's always different opportunities and lots of variety. But girl gotta work. Girl gotta pay those bills.
Yes, you do. She's a boss bitch right there. But I think, and it's really interesting, I think you must be, and you must get so many messages, such a, almost like, essentially a bit of an inspiration to a lot of women who, through one reason or another, are bringing up a child on their own. And it wasn't what you set out to do, Fern, but it's, like you say, all you've ever known was going through your pregnancy and bringing up Sunday, especially when she's small, on your own. Was that super tough? Was that quite a difficult experience?
It's been such a journey. It has been such a journey because now my friends who are having babies, who are in relationships, you know, for example, Danielle and Tom, they've just had a Danielle Armstrong. She's just had her beautiful little girl, Orla. And I think back when I was pregnant and giving birth, I would have a little bit of, not bitterness and not jealousy, but I guess I guess that those feelings.
Hey, mate, I don't blame you. Like, I would definitely have that.
And there was like comparing. Oh, I didn't have that experience. Whereas now, I actually forget that I'm a single parent. Hmm. I am just Sunday's mum.
Yeah.
And I look and I think that if I were to have another baby, I would love to do it in a partnership and with, you know, as a team, because I look at my friends and, yeah, people on Instagram, even though that's not as it seems. But I look at my friends and think, yeah, I look at my sister and think, and her husband, you make a fantastic team. Yeah. So, yeah, it wasn't, obviously it wasn't what I'd hoped. But honestly now, like, it's kind of, being a single parent, it is hard. Uh-huh. It is hard.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine.
I've got an amazing support network, and I felt for so many single parents in lockdown. I was so lucky that my mum moved in with me mm-hmm. for a considerable yeah. amount of time. But there were people that didn't have that luxury, and it was hard. And because even having my mum there, she wanted me, and she wants my attention because she wasn't used to having me at home. It's tough. Whether, no matter what setup you're in, I think being in lockdown with children, having a child is tough, you know. It's such
just
a big
having a child full stop is fucking
whether you're
hard,
in lockdown
man.
Or not, it's tough.
Yeah.
And being a single parent, you know, I don't care what anyone says, it is tougher because it's just you.
Yeah,
it would be lovely to have an extra help of an extra pair of hands. That's why it's so nice when my mum's around. But yeah, I always say, oh, you know, I don't know any different. It's what I've always known. But now it doesn't feel, I don't feel like I'm on my own. I don't feel like, oh, I'm a single parent. I don't have them feelings that I had on the offset. That's why it has been a journey. And it's kind of like, right, what am I going to do now? Like, how am I going to let anyone in? Because I'm so used to it being me and her and having our routine. And now it's like, where do we go from here?
I think like that's understandable, and also a lot of people will be able to relate. Like, you have built this wonderful relationship with your daughter, and you have you probably started off just making it work and doing the best you can, but actually now you're not surviving, you and her are fucking thriving, mate. She's gorgeous, she's so confident, she's so beautiful, she's just a wonderful, she's a testament to you, and you look the happiest you've ever looked as well. So it is going to be a huge decision, like when you finally do make it, or a huge move to let someone in. And I reckon it's going to be canny hard.
Major.
Sorry. Like, I do think so.
Major. And I think when you're single for a considerable amount of time,
you become more picky. You become more picky about what you're going to let in, mate, because you know you can live without somebody.
So true. I think it should be mandatory that everyone should be single. You know, you've got some friends that are, they're just always in relationships. They just, you know.
Guilty.
As the words come out of my mouth, I'm looking at you thinking, and you're one of those friends. It's you.
It's this bitch.
You're that jammy bitch that always bags herself a man.
Oh, please don't. Half of them have been more trouble than they're worth. Please don't envy me.
But this, I think when you're single, a lot of my single friends, I'm not saying it's hardship, but when you're single, it goes back to getting to know yourself. You have to get to know yourself to let anyone in before anyone can get to know you. And I really do think that it should be mandatory to be, for some period in your life, single, but not for too long. Because now, yes, I am in this little sticky situation where I'm like, you doubt everything, and you're like, oh, you feel a bit rusty. And also I really love my life right now. I don't know if I kind of feel weird saying that. I love my life. But it's true.
But no, you've worked hard to make a very nice life for yourself and your lovely daughter. So I really wouldn't feel ashamed of saying you love your life. I'd own it. I'd wear it like a badge of honour.
I feel, it's my opinion, very content right now. So
nice word.
Yeah,
I
feel
that.
Very, very content. Things are going good. And, you know, in my life, I'm always like, things are going
what's around the corner
what's next Well, I'm 30 this week.
I know, babe, I was going to ask you about that as well.
Jumping the gun.
No, don't be so stupid, like, let's just have a chat. But it's welcome to the club for starters.
Yes.
Because obviously I'm in my 30s. Secondly, I don't know if you're scared or if you're feeling super like chilled about it, but let me just say, so far, I know only 2 years in, 30s has been my favourite decade.
Oh, everyone says that actually. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. In your 20s, and like, obviously you had to grow up a bit quicker than me, obviously towards the end, given like you had your baby and everything. But I do think in your 20s, you are racked with self-doubt. You are fighting so many different insecurities. You're constantly comparing yourself to others and trying to catch up with what it seems like everyone else is doing and what you feel like you should be doing. It's just such an uncertain time where you're learning so much about yourself. And when I hit 30, like, it didn't happen overnight or anything, but over the last couple of years, I've just became so accepting of who I am. And that goes across everything. Like, do you know my body shape that I've fought for like 10 years to try and change? Like, fuck it, I've got boobs and a bum and that's me, and there's going to be zero apology.
Love,
like,
that.
Fight, like, everything. Like, having a child, I know I joke and I'm like, shit, everyone's doing it but me. But I'm now just like, it will happen when you're ready, so relax and take a breath. You just totally accept who you are. And because of that, yeah, favourite decade to date, mate.
I think self-acceptance is a really... I think you're not even aware of self-acceptance when you are in your 20s, because you're just living your life frivolously and you've got time to. And yeah, I mean, your 20s are a bit of a rocky road, but I'm actually really looking forward to turning 30. I am.
It's lovely that you say that. So many people stress out, but I suppose you're just super content and like it comes across.
The only thing is 30, and this is no disrespect to any 30 year olds, because I'm going to be one in a few days. 30 is a proper adult, and it's I'm now a 30 year old woman. There's no like, oh yeah, I'm 29. No, you're an adult now. I know you've got a child. I know you've got a mortgage, but you're a grown-ass woman. And now I'm like, do I need to start acting like an adult? Like, is this it? And do you know what? This is another thing. So I'm on that celebrity dating app, yeah?
Yeah. Do you know, I won't tell everybody which one she's on, right? But I will tell you, when I was single, I couldn't get on it. Remember this, it's a madness, mate, right? So when I first come out the jungle and I was single and I was having a bit of like, oh, I'm just gonna be single for the rest of my life, nobody, how will I ever know anyone loves me for me, not just because I'm the queen of the jungle and such a tosser.
That's the downfalls with winning it, hon. You see me, I come third. And I never had that problem. Never had that.
Fuck off. So I was like, I remember talking to Joel Dommett about it. And he was just like, you need to go on this dating app. It's like for influencers, celebs, people in the industry, super discreet, go on. And I was like, oh my God, like, is it that easy? He was like, yeah, of course I'm on it. He's like, you've got X, I think he was like, you've got four million followers and a pretty face, you'll be fine. That was his exact words. And I was like, buzzing, sign me up. So I was in Tokyo at the time feeling so, so isolated and super, super lonely. Like, you've been to Japan, but I think we had very different
experiences. We had completely different experiences, yeah, because I loved it.
Yeah, I think you were in Kyoto slightly out. For me, Tokyo was like the coldest place ever, and I spent like a week in Hooters every night just because it was the only place people would talk to us. The waitresses used to say they loved me eyelashes and that, so I'd just go in there. It was so...
No, I went to like a robot cafe and like a monster cafe. I did go with Sunday, which was a really odd, I guess, an odd place to take a child to Tokyo, but they loved her. Like, yeah, all the locals, they were obsessed. So that's why we had a different experience. But go on. We didn't go to Hooters, unfortunately.
Oh, you missed out, mate. The chicken wings were lit. Yeah, so anyway, one night I was lying there super late, couldn't sleep, jet lagged to death. And I logged in to this dating app and filled out all my relevant information. You have to say who you've been recommended by. So I was like, Joel Dommett. It was honestly awful. I was so cringing at myself. And then just waiting to be accepted. And a couple of days later, I just got this email that was like, thanks for your interest. But no, what if a lie? But no thanks. That was it. And I was like, are you fucking joking me? Pete Wicks is on here? Like, I was livid, mate. I was livid.
I'm honestly shocked. Because, you know, there's kind of, it's not just for celebs now. They've kind of broadened their people that are now on the app. And I'm so shocked.
Way to hit a girl when she's down, Fern. Everyone's on it.
No, but seriously, right? I'd love to know why. Like, was she like, why not? Did you not make a complaint?
Lodge a complaint. No, my ego was bruised enough just off being like shortlisted. Like, I didn't need to pursue it and find out it was because I wasn't like attractive or famous or sort of anything enough.
Sorry, I wouldn't have had that because...
I mean, at the time I was super famous.
I wouldn't have had that. And, you know, I guess that was just the universe saying, no, we've got something bigger coming.
Erkan
stepped into your life.
I mean, it was a few years later. I did have to have another little bump in the road before I met my knight in shining armour. But the less said about that, the better. So go on, tell me, you're on this dating app. Is it? I mean, obviously, it's going well because they've fucking let you on it.
Ages. This is about ages. So I'm on the celebrity dating app that is Raya. And to be honest.
Oh, we've dropped the name. Okay. You can find Fern on Raya.
Stop it. I was just about to say everyone's on it. Every single celeb is on it. There's loads of influencers, footballers, sportsmen, you name it, they're on it. And it is a lot of fun, and it definitely did pass some time in lockdown. But I'm not here to talk about my experience on this celebrity dating app. What I was going to say is your perception of age, mine's skewed because when I'm seeing 30-year-old men on this celebrity dating app, I'm like, nah, too old.
No.
But then...
You ageist prick.
Okay. I've kind of checked in with myself and I'm like, Fern, you are turning 30 and it's time to, you know, maybe try it. You talk to some older guys. And
try some experienced peen.
Yes.
Good. Honestly, mate, I feel like we've had this conversation before, but Erkan is 26, which ultimately makes me a cougar. And I've gone out with older guys. I've gone out with younger guys. I've had my fair share of both ends of the spectrum. And I really do believe age is just a number. Like, and I get where you're coming from for a while. Like, my mum was really worried because obviously your mum and my mum are really close and they've both been back out in the dating pool, haven't they? And my mum got really worried that she was going to have to like start looking for 60-year-old fellas. And she was like, are they just going to be really boring and really old and set in their ways? But let me tell you, like, it doesn't matter about the age, it matters about the individual. The fella she's with now, they go bike riding, they go on holidays, Fern. She's having the time of her life. And I think, like, it's given her a new lease of life.
It's about compatibility, isn't it? And I think even me to say I'm judging someone off the back of a number that is like full frontal on their profile is actually really wrong, because I have got friends of all ages and some who are pushing into their late 30s, early 40s, one of my best friends is 40 years old, mm-hmm. and I feel like we are the same age. Mm-hmm. Where you would place us, mm-hmm. whether it's 40 or 30 or 20 bloody one, mm-hmm. who cares? But yeah, it, age is just a number, and I quickly have had to learn that, if I'm honest, because
to stay hot and fresh on the old date nap scene, eh?
Absolutely. And then, but just going back to that, because now I'm thinking, like, does this mean? Have you ever seen that Sex and the City episode where they're all talking around the table and Samantha goes...
Let me just stop you there. The answer is yes. I've seen them all. Yes.
Of course you have. You know where Samantha goes, welcome to my box. And it's you now have to tick. You know, we would be in the overs if we were to enter X Factor.
Oh, we'd
be in the overs.
We'd be in the same category as Wagner. Let that fucking ruminate, mate.
This is what I'm saying. And so now people, you know, now I'm 30. That's going to change my profile. I might have been knocked out of many
people's
guys
searches.
Shit,
babe. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. But you know what? Then more fool them, because they're missing out on an absolute catch. You're stunning. You're a brilliant mother and you're independent. She's making it rain, lads. You are missing out, man.
Yeah, she is back with the compliments.
Never too far away. Never
too far away. Thank you, darling. Yes, no, I'm excited for the... I love that we're now talking about my dating life, which is... It's always the way. But yeah, I'm excited for the future.
Good. So I'm sure you should be. So obviously, I didn't want to get into it too much, but you brought it up yourself. You are single. You are looking.
Yes.
Is there anything in a man, in case, because I don't get a lot of men listening. I get a lot of women, if I'm honest. But if there's any fellas listening on the off chance, what is it you're looking for in a man?
I just want someone that I can have fun with.
Yes.
Obviously, I think chemistry is my favourite thing. One of my favourite things on this whole entire universe. It's invisible and you can't see it, but oh my, you can feel it. And when two people have got chemistry, that is just so euphoric and exciting. It's like you could lock eyes with someone across a bar and it just be such a force. And I love that. So definitely initially chemistry. Mm-hmm. And then I do think there has to be an element of lust.
Oh, yeah.
And then just someone that I could be myself with. I have dated so many guys, even recently, an ex-boyfriend. Mm-hmm.
Shall remain nameless.
I wasn't myself.
Oh, babe.
I wasn't myself. And the very few dates that I've been on since, I've just walked into them like, do you know what? I'm going to be myself. And if it doesn't go anywhere, then no love lost. I know that I can walk away and be like, I was myself, and that's, you know, that's good enough for me. But I want someone that I could just properly laugh with and just be besties with.
Often. That is all I want for you as well. Like, I seriously just want you to be so happy, and you deserve it. Whenever it happens, mate, it'll be the best. And you know what? Good things are worth waiting for, honey.
Absolutely.
Took me, I was 31.
Yes. And this is the thing, like, lots of my friends around me, they've met their one, mm-hmm. and things have happened really quickly in their 30s. So I'm not worried, or, you know, you get that lots of women are like, oh, I'm 30. And but then saying that, because my friend, I was having a conversation with my friend and she's like, yeah, but you've got a kid. And I was like, I can only really speak on behalf of myself. I haven't got that, I need to meet someone right now. I need to meet, because yes, I guess I've got Sunday. But I understand the pressures. Like, lots of women are like, I want to find someone. But when you are on that desperate, it is almost desperation. I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been like sat till goon o'clock in the morning on Raya, scrolling through Instagram, scrolling through my DMs, thinking, someone, please.
Who's going to be me baby daddy?
Honestly, the day Sunday, and I don't know why I'm saying this with a big old grin, the day Sunday gets her heart broken, I'm throwing her the biggest party ever. Because your first heartbreak is something that you don't know this right away, but it's something that should be celebrated, because you have to go through that. Everyone has to have that.
It's like a girl's bar mitzvah, really, isn't it?
Yes. It really is. It's like, welcome to the world. Like, now's the time to, like, really get to know.
And there's that saying, isn't there, that the valleys will teach you something the mountaintops never will. And it's such a broad,
Never heard
have
that
you
one.
Not? It's such a broad saying. It basically just means your lows in life teach you an awful lot more about strength, about who you are, about who you want to be than when you're riding high. Because we can all have a nice time and be a good person when things are going well. But when you're low, it shows you what you're made of.
Well, don't we know it, darling?
Fucking hell, mate. That feels like a perfect place to end part one. Please tune in to part two when me and Fern will be catching up on all things I'm a Celeb and tackling social media.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.